101.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Welcome back. According to the Institute for Justice and Reconciliation, IJR, Decolonizing Concept Project report, South African people are still faced with myriad of challenges. Now, to help us understand this is Jan Hofmeyr, who is the Senior Head Research and Policy at the Institute of Justice and Reconciliation. Jan, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Ibrahim.
Jan, I was looking at this Decolonization Concept Project report. It's very academic, difficult to understand at times, but can you just quickly just define for us what this concept is all about?
Well, it is really just about looking at the question of language and economic access in our country. We're celebrating Freedom Day, and as South Africans, we can celebrate political freedom that was achieved, but as we all know, when we look at our poverty and inequality levels in South Africa, that we have not really sort of achieved economic liberation for all South Africans yet. And so we have to look into some of the reasons why that is the case. So what we do know is that the big poverty and inequality problem in South Africa is that people do not work. They are not equipped and do not have the skills to work. And very often one then has to ask, why is that not the case? So part of the question might lie with education, but also I think one must also ask, what role does the question of language play? The language in which people are educated, the language in which they, from the very beginning, start to grasp and understand concepts. And so this paper really just asks whether we are making enough provision in South Africa also for indigenous languages to allow children from a very young age also to grasp sort of very significant and basic but important concepts from a very young age in their particular language.
Now, when we look at what you have just mentioned, especially when you talk about inequality and people failing to get into the economy, so to speak, because they need to speak a certain language that can propel them to reach that stage. Now, I'm trying to go back to the time when South Africa actually attained its first democratic election. And obviously, quite a large number of people by then, the majority actually, hasn't been well skilled. And these are the people that were pushed into the mainstream, economy to go and fend for themselves. That is to go and survive and look for work. So now we're talking about the freedom. How would you define this in the context of being free and not free?
Yeah, well, and I think, a definition of freedom is might differ from one person or another to another, but I think a very important core part of freedom is when a person has got the ability to determine his or her own destiny. And more often than not, that determining of your destiny depends on your economic situation, your financial situation. Are you able to be mobile? Do you have mobility? Do you have access to proper education? Do you have access to proper health and all of those things? And as we know that in our economy, to obtain quality services in each of those areas, you need to have the means to do that. So in our economy, I think definitely one can say that very many people do not have the ability to determine their own destiny. Many people are dependent on government for critical services, for health, for education, which in some instances are not up to the standard that one would want people to have when we say that we want our people to live in dignity. So I think, you know, when one talks about freedom, you can divide it up into political freedom, and you can't divide it up in economic freedom. The political freedom means that you've got a voice when it comes to elections or within local government elections or participation processes. But the means means really, do you have the economic means to participate in the economy, but also the means to look after yourself and look after your family?
Obviously, from this context, we cannot overlook the aspect of some history behind language in South Africa, and that has, you know, contributed to the issue of social, you know, disconnection between various people. So now, how can we try to, you know, advance our own languages, that is within the South African context, to ensure that these languages actually propels or puts people in better, you know, situations so that they can navigate the market economy just using their own language?
Okay, I think, you know, firstly, it requires political will. I think it starts in schools. It starts in government and government policy with regard to education. It also starts with, you know, with publishers who are willing to put their money where their mouths are if they advocate cultural diversity and the promotion of indigenous languages. And they also have to be willing to, for example, publish work that is done in these languages. It also will require some effort in thinking about how can you convert some of these languages also in academic languages, that has been the case with Afrikaans under apartheid. Then we have to ask ourselves, can't we do the same for other languages, for example? But it requires political will, and it also requires commitment of ordinary South Africans. We cannot only expect of government to promote it. One also has to put your money where your mouth is if you profess, or, you know, that is also your objective.
But when we look at the freedom that came with the Constitution of South Africa, obviously some of the provisions within the Constitution also allows for multilingualism, which means people can explore. But why are these rights not being utilized then within the context of the Constitution?
Well, I think in many instances it is purely sort of economic decisions. If we look sort of at the, you know, in the big metros, people use English as a commercial language. It's simply sort of from an economic vantage point, it is just more convenient for people. But you see, I think convenience sometimes do not lead us anywhere, and therefore, you know, that's also the reason why I say we have to make some pertinent choices to change the way that we think about certain things, and it has to start with somebody. It has to, as I said, there needs to be political will, but ordinary people also need to be more assertive about where they go and shop, for example. Are they being sort of helped in the language of their preference, or are the signs in a shop, for example, speaking to people of different language groups? Do people get the sense that they can feel at home in a particular shop? And I would argue that where people feel that they're being respected and the dignity of their culture is being respected, they will also support that kind of enterprise economically.
Your report also has cited some good examples. I'm looking at Japan and China and some parts in the Far East where these countries have actually utilized their language and promoted even their products using their own language. So what sort of parallels can be drawn from that if we want to learn from such experiences?
Well, I think, you know, the other example that one can also use is in South Africa itself. A political choice was made long ago about Afrikaans during the apartheid era to promote it as a language of science, to make it an academic language, and that was achieved. And I see no reason why we cannot sort of achieve that with other languages in South Africa as well. There just needs to be the will across the political spectrum and cultural spectrum to promote these different languages.
So finally, obviously, we need to find a solution because people shouldn't be, you know, excluded simply because they can't speak a certain language. What are we going to do as government to address this?
Yeah, well, you know, we are not government. So I think firstly, you know, as ordinary South Africans, you know, we firstly sort of have to try sort of and assert our rights. We and you know, sometimes within the commercial space, people sort of listen to where the feet go, and if we go where we feel that our cultures, our languages are being respected, you know, that will also serve as an economic incentive for people to use the language also in public spaces. So I think when it is important that, you know, that there is political will within government and across government to ensure that people receive the services that they want in their particular languages. But it's also up to us as ordinary citizens to ensure that certain things happen. When governments get elected, and they get elected on the basis of the will of the people, and therefore these, you know, this will, this need of people also need to be asserted when it comes to engagement with politicians.
Mr. Jan Hofmeyer is the Senior Head of Research and Policy at the Institute of Justice and Reconciliation. Thanks very much for speaking to us.
You're most welcome.